Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight with me, comedian Omar Abid, wedding celebrant Sarah Clark at Sarah Clark Celebrates on Instagram, and Claire Limmer Abid. All right.
Sorry.
Hi. Yes, we are here.
We are.
We're just both reading our notes. Yeah. What we're going to say today.
Yeah, lots of notes. I think this week's been surprisingly good, actually, because I was just saying to you two that they've changed the format a bit. This period, before you get to final vows, always sort of felt a bit dull to me. It always sort of tails off a bit because there's fewer couples. I mean, there's still six couples in, which compared to other series is quite a lot.
Yeah.
But you go to one person's house, then you go to the other person's house, then they do final dates. It's a lot of rehashing the same stuff.
You've just made me realise they have no control, or maybe we perceived no control, the producers, if everybody just left. Like, if you only left with one couple from, like, the 8th or 9th week,
yeah.
What would they do? Yeah, because if everyone just wrote leave,
yeah.
Well, how do they control that? And there's no one left.
Yeah.
They bring
back. I guess they're just relying on people wanting to stay until the bitter end.
Yeah.
Maybe they're offering
people
them money under the table of, like, you have to stay.
But I like the reverse homestay.
I know. I get what you mean. It would be
helpful
to see both sides of it. But I think I'd rather not see both sides of it and just let's wrap it up. And
you just want to get to the end. You've got this podcast because you love this show and you hate this show.
And then you want it over as soon as possible.
No, I think it's helpful to see both homestays.
I like reverse homestays.
Because sometimes it's quite jarring. Like for Timothy and Lucinda, for example, when she said he's got a sticky little house, it would have been interesting to see him in her life.
That would have been amazing.
And she said she likes luxe things and all that
spaciousness.
Sort of, yeah, so might have been quite interesting. Not that he would have agreed to go.
But I think he would have gone. Well, maybe not after that
TBC.
Picnic. Should have gone to his first.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, what would we have learned really from seeing Jade stay at Ridge's house? We know his mates are dicks. We know he lives at home and he's immature.
Yeah, but we don't know about his mum and dad particularly.
Oh, no, I definitely
so I think that would have been interesting to see her with his family.
Yeah, definitely. I think I know what you mean. Like, we're now in the final furlong.
Yeah.
But I would have liked to see both sides.
Yeah.
And I wonder how they pick whose house they go to.
Yeah, exactly. So I would have liked to have seen Jack and whether he would make any effort at all
in Melbourne.
Well, apparently, I don't know if that was where they stayed. That's not his flat.
Did we even see it other than her coming through the door with her suitcase?
It did look very smart. And mind you, all their flats look like that. They always look really minimalist, modern and smart. So,
well, I was going to say Sarah.
Other than Timothy's man cave.
God.
Which wasn't that bad.
Apparently he had a 20-year-old staying there while he was on the experiment.
Where?
What, Timothy?
Yeah, so that's why it's an absolute state.
Oh, I thought you meant Jack. Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't put anything past them at this point, would we?
Tim and Sarah, I think you could basically see Sky Suites from her. Because you were saying
lives in Sydney.
Yeah, they must both be from Sydney, I guess. Or they just
Not, he's from Queensland, remember?
That's
because
right.
I said to you, well, that's like more than half the cast off to Queensland. So maybe that's why
in the GC.
So maybe that's why they left them in Sydney.
Yeah, you were saying stuff to me as though I actually know Australian geography. It's like,
I just know where Perth is.
Do you? See, that's the one I wouldn't know where
west,
that was.
It's the one that's the only city. So it's the most remote city in the world.
Okay.
Because it's on that side of Australia.
Yeah. The West Coast.
Towards us.
Yeah.
There's nothing around it.
Is Canberra not over there?
No idea. I said that's the only thing I know.
That was the one we were like, what's over there?
And it may or may not be correct.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with, I guess what we'll do is, the dinner party is the big talking point and there were only three homestays, so we'll start with the people on homestays and probably Tim and Sarah because there's least to say about them. She was just whining about the consequences of her actions.
I know, but I was proud of him because he was using language like, I have my standards and my boundaries. Mm. And like to step back for a second and be an elder millennial, it's really great. It is nice to see people use this language and being more aware of what they deserve and what they shouldn't be putting up with, because that didn't happen when we were dating in our earlier lives. Like, I don't know, when I actually, Tim's like 31, but you know, as a 20-year-old I never would have known the word boundaries.
No.
Or standards.
Yeah.
They didn't exist.
I mean, maybe standards. I think standards existed.
But I was pleased because I don't think he is being a pushover.
Yeah.
No. I think probably some of the people at the dinner parties think he is, but I actually don't think he is. I think he's trying to be fair and trying to give everything a fighting chance, and then he's going to wash his hands of it all if it happens again. Or if she, but she's never repented and she never checks on him. So even when she was crying, she's like weaponizing her own tears and getting him to comfort her.
Mm-hmm.
But she never comforts him.
No. Yeah. And she never sees his point of view or the wider context. Like, for example, when they're out with his mate, who I can't believe that I'm on his side.
Did you hear the line where he went, what's your furniture like? Overstyled and cold.
I know. What was he getting at there?
A dig. Overstyled and
who
cold.
Who else does he think is... Or what else does he think is overstyled and really cold?
Like, God. He's
be a bit more obvious,
much.
Ben.
So, Sarah's friend, I think it was the only thing we saw her say.
I don't even remember her speaking.
No, I don't.
She said, well, why should she, you know, why would she tell you if it's something innocent? And Tim's response was, well, why lie about it though? And that's where Sarah said, we're not rehashing things. Like, he's not rehashing it. It's like he's addressing a point that's been brought up.
And give the guy a chance to even irony. You finish your sentence.
Well, just, it's the first time these people have heard what's happened. They're going to have, it's a natural question to ask or discussion to have. Of course you've heard it before because you will have had that discussion, but guess what? When the experiment's over, you're probably going to have it again. It's just the way it is. You fucked up. You're going to take your medicine.
But it is mad because it's literally been like a fortnight.
Yeah.
And as far as we've seen televised, it's really not been talked about that much in all honesty, like considering how Tim must be feeling. Like, Tim is probably thinking about it constantly and he's brought it up like twice.
Mm.
And then she lays into him when he does bring it up.
Yeah.
So Johnny has a theory. Johnny thinks there's more that happened with her ex. And she's nervous about speaking about it in case she reveals anything extra. She just wants to... Because, you know, if Tim knew everything, she'd be like, fine, let's talk about it. It's fine. I've told you everything. I'm happy to talk about it. I know I was in the wrong. And talk it through. I think there might be other elements of, like...
Deflection.
Anything. Well, because she said nothing physical happened. What if it did? Or...
Mm.
Or maybe, like, there's loads of texts on her phone. Or
Because
if they talk about it, he could ask to see the text. He could ask to speak to the ex. He could ask to know exactly when they last slept together. All that sort of stuff. So she's just nervous of that being a topic at all.
Yeah.
And she ends up being defensive.
Shut the door on it.
Yeah.
I think that is her best plan of attack because she cannot lie. So she's really awful at keeping a story that she's constructed. So just don't say anything.
Yeah.
But poor Tim, like... But I do like that he does stand up for himself. He's like, no, we haven't really talked about it. He doesn't take her shit when she says something that's not true. He's like, it's not true. We haven't. She just made me laugh because she was like, it's never ending. And I was like, it's barely begun. Like, it just happened. He's brought it up a couple of times. It's never ending is quite full on. That would be if you'd been with someone for 20 years and they were still talking about something that happened 20 years ago.
It's incremental, brick by brick, building back the trust.
Yeah.
Not like instantly.
Of course. And I don't... She seems to think... She's quite black and white about things because she seems to think, like, the words, I'm sorry, have come out of my mouth, that should be enough for him. But he's testing how she reacts when he brings it up because he wants to see her be remorseful and gentle about it and listen to him. But she's always defensive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even when she's pretending to be remorseful, there's always that element of, like, you shouldn't have brought this up again.
Yeah.
And she even said, this was supposed to be a fun day. That's quite arsey.
Yeah,
to someone you've hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. there's the emotional side of it, of like, it's going to take time on at his pace, which, to be fair, at the end, she at some point, it might have been the dinner party, maybe, to camera, where she said, we're going to go at his pace of, like, of rebuilding the trust, which is fair enough, she did say that. But again, just the practical things of, like, what happened? People are going to say to them, so what was it like being Married at First Sight? What
yeah.
happened?
It'll have this? To come out again. Yeah. yeah.
And it's on TV. You're going to have to talk about
it. And the ex is out in the world.
Yeah.
Mm. He has information whether they slept together or what happened, you know, little snog.
It's interesting that we had that story about Jack's ex at the beginning, didn't we?
Yeah.
And we've talked so much about Sarah's ex, but who is this guy? I guess to give him a bit of credit, maybe he hasn't sold his story.
Well, because he's supposed to be in a relationship on and off, isn't he? He's actually got a girlfriend.
It depends what mood they're in as to whether he's in a relationship or not.
True.
The other homestay we saw was Jade and Ridge. Mm. And they went to Jade's house. And you said it's the most South African that Jade has been.
Yeah, I hadn't really twigged that was her heritage. So when she was talking about having a bride,
really?
I was like, I can hear. Yeah, because it's already an Aussie accent. Well, it's not quite fully Aussie, I guess. I'm not tuned in enough.
Yeah,
I only barely know where Perth is, so how do I know the accent?
Well, we were talking about a bride because we'd heard the term before in the Oscar Pistorius documentary we watched.
That's all we know about South Africa.
You were really into Oscar Pistorius, like the trial.
Yeah, because when it was
a person, she got the calendar.
Just the trial. Because when the trial was happening, I was working in quite a boring office job. So me and my Swedish friend used to just like check as soon as the trial started, right? Refresh the page. God. What's happening now?
Oscar.
Ridge, predictably. This was cut out of the E4 version, though. He was doing all the Dece chat.
Mm. Yeah.
But they were sat around the table and the sister said, oh, so is he saying embarrassing things like Dece? And Jade says, oh, much worse than that. And Ridge goes, what, like dogging?
Yeah see, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was cut out of the E4 thing because I had quite a... an excellent tweet, which didn't really get the audience it deserved because people hadn't seen it. But it was classic Ridge. He mentions dogging at the first family barbecue and then literally seconds later talks about how the appropriate thing would be for me to move because of Jade's daughter.
Yeah.
You know, it's like really sincere.
I know.
I just wish he'd learned to be a bit more selective about the environment that he's in. And what he says in those environments.
So model himself to the...
Yeah, but then he has do that with your mates. Then Jade wouldn't be annoyed. But don't do it with our family. It seems
weird, isn't
really
it?
Straightforward.
Because like we've said before, he does have quite a legit job, like where he has to be professional, I assume. He's got people's psych.
Yeah.
Like he has to be confidential with stuff. I'm just thinking like he... Yeah, he must have to balance that nuance of how am I with these people, how am I with these people. But it feels like Jade had to be on edge slightly the whole time of like, what's he going to say?
Yeah.
And she must really like him because there's a lot of feeling. I mean, she's talking to her mum and sister in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And she was quite emotional of all the powers with him, really, because she has her setup. She can't really move.
Yeah.
She's requiring him to like really step up and be a stepdad or whatever straight away. Whereas... he could just decide it was too much and not...
And that's her fear, isn't it?
Yeah, totally, legit.
But he's been pretty reassuring, I think. I know he... And they do it at the dinner party, they show a lot of his immaturity. But I think when it counts, he's been very reassuring. Like when they were at that holiday home thing after the semi-nude cooking. And then they were having a proper chat and he says, look, I think that what we should do is long term for 6 months, we'll go from there, then I'll move.
Mm.
And she was worried that she had insecurities that, well, that's a long time where he can just be distracted by other things and forget about her. But
yeah,
it seems a sensible way to do things. How weird would it be if just after 8 weeks of knowing each other that he moved to another city
and became the dad?
Yeah.
I know. I've
lived with her mum and dad.
I know. I totally know what you mean, but I did understand her fears. Her fears were so valid when she was like, he's going to be distracted. Like, obviously you come out of this show and presumably you've got like a media tour or you've got loads of press or whatever it is, and his face will be known in Australia. He could easily have, you know, the girls.
Yes.
Hopefully his feelings are legit. They feel like they are. But he will be busy and distracted and back to work, and she's not part of that world. We haven't seen her in his world because of the
reverse homestay thing didn't happen.
So I think she's within her rights to feel like that.
And I can understand the worry and the insecurity. It's a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, and he has got that immaturity to him.
Yeah.
But I believe it, you know, he is sincere. He seems sincere.
He means what he says when he says he would plan to move and he's happy to have a stepdaughter. I think he really, really does mean that. But the time period is going to be tricky for her.
Yeah, can he back it up with action?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think at least if Ridge moved, they would stay in the same room, unlike another
couple. I've got a room for her.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, I've got a room for you. What?
And then Lauren was like, you're going to charge her rent.
Yeah, well, we'll come to that. Well, let's talk about Jack and Tori's home. So is there anything else you guys wanted to say, actually?
About Jade and Ridge?
I'm ready to talk about Jack and Tori.
Well, let's start with the 5 a.m. exercise session, the gym session.
Fran hasn't even come up.
But to be fair, remember at the wedding, though, she was talking about, yeah, I love a 5 a.m. hot girl walk.
Did she?
Yeah, she did. I remember her saying that.
Wow, how do you remember that?
Because I thought
those vows are like so long ago.
The big thing that I enjoyed about the gym session, though, was the photo.
Oh, my God. They've done him dirty.
And how interesting. They won't change it. Why won't they change it for you, Jack?
I mean, this programme has not stood the test of time, but Little Britain. It looked like a character.
Yeah.
It looked like an absolute pantomime character.
Yep.
I enjoyed, because when I freeze-framed it and read the specialities that he has, it was like core and stability and lean muscle building and things. So I repeated those on a tweet and added in, you know, golden showers, misogyny. What do you think of his style? Is drill sergeant style?
No, this is why. You said it, didn't you? That this is why people who don't like the gym don't like the gym.
Yeah.
Because they think if they go to a personal trainer, awful. That's what they're going to be like.
And he was clicking at them.
Oh, I would be gone. No, I wouldn't be having that. But and you paid for it.
We would have been gone so long ago.
Like, I couldn't have got there at 5 a.m.
I know.
I wouldn't have been there in the first place.
Of course Tori allows him to click at her because she doesn't put her foot down for anything.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Seeing him in his environment made him worse.
It did.
Yeah.
And it was interesting, wasn't it? Because it looked like Tori was getting annoyed, disgruntled, fed up, all those sort of things. And then when we cut to the dinner party, how was the homestay? Oh, it made me realise I can fit in with his life. That isn't true.
No.
But also it's on film that it's not true because you've even said to camera, you're not happy.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't like his friends, clients.
Yeah.
And you didn't fit in with his life.
Yeah, 80% of that homestay was awful. And she wouldn't fit in with his life. And 20% was, here's a bracelet and let's have sex.
I know.
Yeah.
And that's
and also,
the bit.
Can you order me tuna and rice?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. How many
for
do you want?
Every meal, like breakfast, lunch and dinner?
Yeah, I guess so. 8 packs of rice, he said. Six cans a day he goes through.
I don't know if anyone listening is Australian. I don't know if we've got any of the like legit Aussie listeners. But I do find it quite interesting with the cultural differences around the country of where they live and how the different places are perceived. They talked about the coffee wankers from Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Yes. And I know Melbourne is more, well, I don't know. I think Melbourne is more like inland and slightly more sort of hipster, chill.
Yeah, we were talking about this. Yeah. More Sydney, European, Sydney's more a bit cosmopolitan. More,
yeah, Sydney's a bit more flash, touristy, but also very like beachy and surfy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they talk about like the Gold Coast and Tassie, and I don't know the vibe of those ones, but it feels like for someone like Tori, she's never left Melbourne or she's never lived anywhere else, and the Gold Coast is like polar different.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I think actually, because I've been to the east coast of Australia, and Melbourne is like that. I compare it to Manchester, but
because they've got trams.
But it's sort of metropolitan whereas Brisbane, which I think is Gold Coast, was I thought more like Newcastle. You found
I
it
didn't
boring.
Like Brisbane, it's boring.
Yeah,
it's really small, but then potentially it's small compared to Melbourne, Sydney.
But it's an interesting one, isn't it? They're not just moving for love or TV time. They're also talking about moving and changing
lifestyle.
The climate.
Yeah, he said that would be his biggest worry for her was the climate. I mean, to be fair, she did burn
again.
She's got really fair skin, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But you're changing the climate, you're changing the lifestyle. You know, people who live in like northern beaches, Sydney, all surf. Or I don't know, I'm just making generalisations. But like, you're very different between those places. And so that's a whole nother level.
Liz, with two Zs. Not liking her because she's a coffee wanker.
What was her problem?
She's basic. Oh, she didn't like her because she's basic. Saying that to her face.
No, genuinely, what was Liz's problem?
I don't understand. That interaction, I think Tori was just so shocked that she didn't know how to respond to any of that.
But you know, somebody said this on Instagram. Sorry, I really should start making notes of people who said this.
Keep anonymous.
But she said... this person said, all these really funny tweets. I can't believe you didn't do one about Tori saying, I'm... somewhat of a boss bitch, as it were. Are you? Because this is someone who's a dickhead who you've never met, being a dickhead to your face, and you didn't do anything.
I know, it's strange, isn't it? But because she's in Jack's world, and as we heard at the dinner party, she's fiery to everyone except Jack.
Yeah.
Maybe Liz fell under the umbrella of being like, oh, it's Jack's client, she can't be rude to a client.
Yeah.
But that's why the power dynamic is so skewed when you're meeting. You're not meeting someone's friends, you're meeting their clients. Like, that's a different dynamic. You have to be a level of polite, I guess, or like, these are his bread and butter.
Yeah.
So could she have said, fuck off?
Yeah.
Or is that, Jack would be like, you can't talk to my client like that. This isn't my friend, this is my client.
Mm.
And he was sitting back because he said
smug
something
as
like,
hell.
Yeah, it was awful.
I want her to be under fire for once.
Exactly. I hated that.
Well, of course.
That was a horrible thing to say.
That comes out of his
mouth. Yeah. So why are you going into this lunch with so-called friends, anticipating Tori being under fire and enjoying that because you've been through that as well? But they're your friends.
Because he doesn't care about her.
Weird dynamic to go into a lunch with.
And then one of them was mute, and then the cynic in me was like, have the producers paid this girl to be harsh? Because it was so weird. It came out of nowhere.
It was really weird.
And she was making these accusations based on not knowing Tori. Because I don't want to defend Tori, but it was a weird... It was a weird vibe to be like, you are this, you are that, without knowing her, as if she'd been told, right, you just have to lay into Tori, here's 50 quid.
Yeah, we'll give you a few talking points.
Yeah, because otherwise, where's
that coming
from?
She was going
off
the vows, she said at one point, didn't she?
Not just the vows, we'll get to the vows bit in a second, I guess, because that was sort of the end bit of it. Because I don't want to miss the bit where she was talking about Tori's lifestyle and things. And the whole, when I meet a girl who says they're one of the boys, it's usually because they're sleeping with all the boys.
Oh my God.
Despicable. Absolutely despicable. And you asked a question, didn't you, on Instagram?
On Instagram.
What do you guys think? And people were making some really good comments like, that is such internalized misogyny.
Yeah.
For a woman to say that to another woman is basically saying, if you're in a male space, you must be sexual in that space, because why else would men want to hang out with you unless you were their plaything?
Because there's nothing else.
It's madness.
About you as a person.
Yeah. And then I wanted Tori to stand up at the table and go, right, Jack just has female quote-unquote friends slash clients, so you must be sleeping with Jack then.
Yeah,
it works both ways.
Exactly.
What a weird thing to say. But like you were saying, Tori didn't really give anything. She didn't stand up for herself in the way you'd want a fiery boss bitch, but, as it were.
Somewhat of a boss bitch.
Somewhat. It was a weird interaction.
Yeah,
it was like a horrible job interview or something.
It was really odd.
Yeah, it was like we watched the some of the Apprentice final last night, didn't we?
Well, I was about to say, there's language which we come to, which was very Apprentice. Like, I've got a strategy, seal the deal, we've earned our position. All the stuff Jack was saying that was supposed to be like romantic about them as a couple sounded like he was on The Apprentice.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Spin this back round. All this sort of like hyperbole, like weird office-y chat.
After the dinner.
Yeah,
you're right. With this, when I asked what do people think about this girls being one of the boys thing, we've got the most responses we've had on something like that on Instagram, and it's a range of things. Jenny LDB says gross, untrue, bizarre, paranoid. Lindsay Therapy says Tori's not even sleeping with her husband. The Luby Clan says I think she's a twat.
Well, it was just it was a very strange like stereotype, like sweeping generalization to make that has nothing. It's not found in anything. I guess she was saying it's her opinion. When I meet a girl, I assume so.
Yeah,
but
why do you assume that?
Yeah, well, it's
that's because she's threatened.
The
whole dinner felt very threatened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, oh, who's this new girl in our group? Jack's our boss. He's our personal trainer, and also like, he deserves better. He shouldn't have to settle.
Did she say something about his fairy tale or something like that?
His fairy tale.
That was really odd. Something about he deserves to have the fairy tale. He deserves to have the...
I need to move back from the
Line. It was something like that.
He deserves to have the fairy tale.
Well, this is then when they were going over the vows and saying like, you came across really like bossy. Was it, you know...
Oh, yeah.
Why would you do that? Are you worried about... I don't know. It didn't make sense, because on the one hand, Liz was saying like, have you toned down what you like, or
Match the fact he has to be the dominant one?
Yeah.
But he's so reductive. Jack is so.
Do you want to not be so strong so you don't put someone off? Is what she said.
But then she also said the vows were bossy.
Yeah.
So, like, which is it?
Madness. So, I think what she was saying to Tori was, like, don't you think you should maybe not be quite that strong?
Don't
so
be
that
so yourself.
The man, so that the man will like you.
Yes.
Right. And then that's Jack, what she was saying.
Jack was so reductive, being like, well, I normally go for, like, really girly girls. But look, look, she's got her nails done.
I've written is that down.
Is he for
so
real?
That was horrendous.
Is he for real?
As if, look how feminine she is. So, therefore, she's not strong.
But also
because
what,
she gets her nails done.
But also, what puts some acrylic nails on an octopus and that's like woman enough for Jack? Like, means nothing.
Oh, God. Oh. And she said something like, well, you've been single a while and Jack's got a six pack.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Jack's
yeah,
got
yeah,
a six pack.
As if Jack is the only man in Australia with a six pack.
But also, didn't that feel threatened? Like, he's our six pack.
Yeah.
To take pit mitts off with yeah, your fake nails.
Yeah, well, this was the, I feel like you're trying to make it work for the wrong reasons, which is true as a statement because they are trying to make it work for the wrong
you're
reasons.
You're back on the money.
Yeah, but it's not because Jack's got a six pack.
Like, definitely not. Well, I hope not.
Yeah, it's because Tori's stubborn and has been, you know.
And bossy.
Madness. And then they went to that dinner.
Mm. Yeah, the nighttime dinner, which the thing I liked about that was, because of the layout of the restaurant and everything, the cameras were right in their faces.
Yeah.
It was real super close up, which yeah, I quite enjoyed. It was intense. And he for some reason he almost consciously decided to turn the smugness up to 11. It was weird. He went in with a proper attitude.
Yeah.
When he was going like, I can see it's riling, I can tell it's riling you up. I can see it's riling
yeah,
you up.
Yes, proper sass.
I know. And like accusing her of being needy for wanting a relationship where you actually see each other.
Yeah.
And you don't sleep
make
in the spare
effort.
Room.
Make the effort to visit each other.
Madness.
Not well, just to go like into the GC
was,
all the time.
Yeah. If he was somebody else and not the horrific person he is, I get his point of like, oh, well,
yeah,
jumping on a plane every Friday night is quite a commitment. Is that something we want to enter into, or is there a way we can make it work? You know, it's expensive, it's timely, yeah, whatever. But all she was saying is like, I want you to want to see me.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, this is the, because I made a comparison to Ridge. It's like 6 months before you, long distance before you then move makes sense.
Mm.
And the realities are like, we aren't going to see each other every weekend because other stuff comes up, the cost, you know, whatever, the, yeah, you know.
Hendus, stag do's,
yeah, clients,
all, picnics.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff can happen. So you're just knackered. We're not going to do it every weekend.
He also said he works on Saturdays.
Yeah.
So he's never going to fly to Melbourne. Like, let's be realistic. I mean, I know he doesn't even like her, but even if he did, he's not willing to shift any of that life
no,
for her, whereas she's willing to move states.
Yeah.
And it's
are they
like,
called states?
State. Yeah.
Counties.
States?
I don't know if they're
at one
in the
point,
same state or not. They are called states, but...
Oh, they are called states,
at
yeah,
one point, he said to her, you can't have it all. And I was thinking, she has literally nothing.
Yeah. She's not asking for it
she
all.
She has nothing from you.
She's asking for something reasonable.
But also the thing of like, well, if you're struggling, I guess we could try to work something
oh,
out to see each other.
But what, he
just I'll
was
be fine.
So,
I'll be...
Yeah.
You come up here, set up shop, give it a go. No. I don't mind us having some space.
He was so non-committal about the whole thing, wasn't he?
Like, but so obviously non-committal.
Yeah. And it didn't seem to matter.
And then it pissed me off so much when he said to camera, I've got a strategy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gives her the bracelet and everything's fine.
The black rose.
Oh.
Yeah, was that a black rose? Because you wondered if it was a chocolate
yeah,
rose.
I didn't know. Couldn't tell
it
what
looked
it was.
So odd, that
was
rose.
Really,
what was that?
Really, oh, do you remember he did used to be a goth? Did you see those pictures
yes,
that went around?
So maybe it was a black rose.
Okay,
though.
Guys, if you don't know the pictures, please Google Young Jack Maths because they are so funny. And he's got one of those like emo side fringes.
Yeah,
that kid
eyeliner.
That kid would love a black rose.
That's true.
And then I think his image is evolving as we see him, like that picture at the gym of him at the front desk. That can't be that long ago because it's his current job.
That's
he looks
true,
so different
yeah,
without
yeah,
the man bun.
Yeah.
And so I
yeah,
think he's just like got this new image for maths and then roll back a couple of years, he had the side fringe.
Yeah. But the shirt he was wearing these
oh,
past
God,
two episodes.
That one that was sort of wet look shirt.
Oh, it was horrendous.
I don't
recognize
him.
Are there
though,
no buttons on these shirts?
In the restaurant, he was buttoned almost to the top and
yeah,
almost didn't recognize him.
Did the bracelet apparently is one that Can be purchased on Temu for $3.
I don't know what Temu is.
No, I don't. This is just something.
Is it like a cheese?
Yeah, one of those.
I don't know if it's
Is it like Wish?
It's like, yeah.
Do you remember Wish? Does that still exist?
Yeah.
I only know of it because of the joke of, like, you know, when you
order. This is the Wish version of Michael Jackson.
Exactly. Michael Jackson.
I don't know what I thought
about. No. More like David Beckham, wasn't it? All right.
I don't know why I said Michael Jackson. at one point, talking about how they might finally have sex, he said, "I'm going to get her over the line." Like, this man is pure repulsive.
Disgusting.
Everything he said was such, like we said before, everything he said was such weird, like, techie office language.
Yeah.
Or, like, apprentice language.
Yeah, it's just all odd. Everything he says doesn't sound right.
The last tweet I did of that episode was, "I've got all I want. I've got Tori. I'm going to take her home right now." Which, written down, it's all about delivery, isn't it?
Because I'm going to take her home.
It sounds so sinister the way he said
it. Yeah. Sinister.
But he said, take her home and keep the party alive.
Yeah.
But to me, that dinner they were having did not seem like a party.
No, it seemed like
awake.
Yeah.
She was quite unhappy and then he distracted her.
Yeah.
And also the sinister thing is always the control he has. So he chooses when they don't have sex. He chooses when they finally do.
Yeah.
And then did you hear the bit at the end when the producer said, why do you think Jack did all that for you?
Oh,
and
God.
She said, I think Jack likes me. And I was like, I think he doesn't.
Yeah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
First thing of the dinner party episode of any relevance was that Lauren's back and excited for the dinner party. I don't know what the little thing with Jono was where he said, oh, they shouldn't call it a table, they should call it a battlefield. And then there was
she didn't laugh. She did not find that funny. She's like, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder they just left that in to see one of Jono's classic singers.
Yeah.
I find those two probably one of the most interesting in terms of I don't feel the chemistry at all.
No.
And she said he's really good in bed, or we've heard her say, or hinted at it, and they have had sex again. I just don't read that from them at all. Mm. Their interactions, their relationship.
Yeah.
He does jujitsu quite a few times a week.
I'm not saying he's not good looking.
Do you remember his vows were all like his
LinkedIn.
They were also like his daily routine.
Yeah, five
what he eats and what he does.
It was
jujitsu in
the
evening.
I love broccoli. I have a fashion comment.
Oh.
There was almost like a Barbie core. Have you written that down?
No, I've written. First thing, Barbie styling. Because so it was Lauren.
Lauren had the beautiful feather.
Boa style.
And
thing.
Then Sarah was in. I'm sorry, this must be so annoying. We call her Sarah and we call her Sarah because I can never decide which one it is. She was in the hot pink, off coral pink, off the shoulder thing.
And the hair. Her hair was very Barbie.
Her hair was all styled, very Barbie side fringe. Everyone looked amazing.
Yeah.
And then even Eden was in that like pop purple. So that was sort of Barbie as well.
The lavender. Lavender.
Sorry, one more fashion. I actually liked Jade's, like,
ooh, the
Italian
red.
Widow.
Mm.
With the, like,
beautiful.
With the, like, Armani necklace or whatever it was.
Big,
and then the
chunky
red.
Yeah, she gold necklace, yeah.
Yeah, with Lauren and Jono, I just don't understand the vibe. Because I think they've only had sex twice.
Mm-hmm.
Not to make it all about the sex, because I don't like that. But the first night they met...
Yeah.
And then they said they were intimate again when they met up after she'd been in hospital. I don't get the sense that they're like in this working, blossoming relationship where it's loads of affection. It's just been these two times.
Yeah, I think she said, didn't she, first time since the honeymoon.
Yeah, and then they're quite matey.
Yeah.
I don't really get it.
No, it seems to be growing though. She does seem quite fond of him.
I know. Well, she said she's got like a crush on him.
Yeah.
Do you think she's more into him?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell anything from him.
It's hard to tell anything from him.
I mean, the other bit with them, with Lauren, was that Tori's the only one who didn't message her.
I know, that's
bad. Which, firstly, somebody had said, and it's a good point, implies that even Jack did. Even Jack might have said.
Or maybe it just goes without saying that Jack didn't.
I know, because I was wondering, I was looking around the table and I was like, some of these people aren't that close to each other. It's like, I don't know, Timothy maybe is.
Yeah, but if you're
trying to think of who's the most random person that would have messaged her.
I think Jack.
Probably.
Ridge.
Maybe, but I think he might.
I assume Jack didn't, but I know what you mean. Like, she said everybody else.
Yeah.
You take even it that for waiter granted, who looks
you
like
didn't include Jack. Pixar. Yeah, but then she also said that Lauren has texted Tori and Tori hasn't replied.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's like a double whammy, and isn't it?
Tori's point, I think, was because she was going, oh, Lauren's fine because she sent me messages, just going da 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 da, you know, just rambling on, which. I assume her point was, so I know that she's fine because she's alive and messaging me.
Yeah.
But that isn't really showing concern.
No, and you would still message back.
Yeah. I know.
It's not that hard to message back.
Well, we'll come to that with Timothy.
Yeah.
Because these people are grown adults and I like some of them.
I don't particularly like Tori, but
I like some of them, but there's no excuse on planet Earth in the modern age where it takes 10 seconds to write a text and send a text. Everyone has Signal, everyone has WhatsApp or text, you know, there's never a reason where you can't check in anymore.
Yeah.
It depends, but you prioritise. Like, I've not responded to messages. I'm getting worse for not responding to messages. Just because I don't want to. I've just got too much.
Well, there you go. You don't want to, but if you're on this experiment with somebody.
But you prioritise. Obviously, a message like that, I would prioritise it. Like, got a message from a mate saying, are you free on June the 7th? I've got time to reply to that one.
On June the 6th. I'm free tomorrow. Are you still around?
I used to be really good for it, but I get it. Like, sometimes
I
just...
I mean, I know that people... Stuff. It's just... These are grown adults.
Yeah.
And if they really cared, they would.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing about relationships, isn't it? If you cared, they would.
Yeah. Exactly.
That is... It boils down to that.
Yeah.
You can make all the excuses in the world, but people will move mountains if they want to show you they care.
I know.
Signal. Patchy area.
There is Signal somewhere.
They also went back to Jack and Tori talking about them having sex. It was a good little shady bit from the narrator saying, against all odds, at the end of Homestays, Jack and Tori consummated their marriage. I love it when the narrator gets shady.
I know, and the editing's often like, when it shows his hand on a leg, like controlling her, I find it quite funny.
Oh, yeah.
And a guarantee that he's bad in bed, was he said, the man's always the star of the show.
I was just going to say, is this when he said that?
I was like, tell me you don't understand sex with women without telling me you don't understand sex with women. Saying the man is always the star of the show, I don't think he's ever seen a female orgasm in real life.
Yeah.
I honestly don't think he has, because that is very telling.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 8 minutes. It just kept going, it kept changing.
Oh,
and Tori didn't have a big smile on her face like it had rocked her world.
No. Nope.
Well, when they were talking about it at the cocktail party, it was like they just filled out a loan application.
I know. And there was a distance between them on the sofa, and I can't remember at what point, but somebody said, how's the sex? And he went, oh, it worked.
Mm.
It was a weird...
Oh, is that what he said?
It was so functional.
Yeah. He said, it worked. I think she enjoyed it.
Oh, right. Okay.
But you know, the man's always the star of the show.
Wind emoji.
What does the wind emoji mean?
Did you ask that on Twitter?
Yeah.
And did anybody give you an answer?
I would always think,
I don't know what this is. That's what I said to you.
But then in that context, it does look like he's running away, because it's that puff of wind, whoosh, gone.
Oh.
Well, a few people had put, and I don't know, I've got 32 replies about that.
Ooh.
a lot of people have said farted. A lot of people say, oh, time to dash over in a puff. But a lot of people, the most people have said, blowjob.
I thought blowjob.
I wondered
but
that,
But we're talking about full penetrative sex.
Yeah.
Because you said last week they're doing bits.
Well, they said that the other week, yeah. So is the one that fits best over in a flash? Is that the one that fits best?
So why would he be bragging about that to Ridge?
Yeah, more time to train.
Yeah, more time for tuna. But then, like, why are you sending a one image? Why are you sending an emoji? I sound like such an elder millennial. Why are you sending an emoji that makes no sense to Ridge? Why hasn't Ridge replied and gone, what do you mean?
But he did.
I think he did.
And he didn't reply.
No, and then it was the sex thing. Then he said that had sex.
Yeah.
Which puts us off Ridge a little bit, because Ridge said, we're boys like
I
that.
I know.
And I thought, oh no, Ridge.
Do you think it was like a release valve? Like they'd finally had sex.
Yeah. But don't you do the aubergine and the little things for that?
The water. Or when I reply to men, yes.
What we usually do.
And you do that scream face.
Yeah. Or the peach. Oh man, I mean, sex with him sounds wildly disappointing.
Yeah.
The bit in the car as well, another classic bit of non-committal, was when she said, oh, I'm going to be full of anxiety when we have to leave, like leave and go back to our own homes. Why? Because I'll miss you.
Oh no, wow.
He's just
totally in a world of his own. He doesn't care.
And he hasn't caught any feelings.
No.
He hasn't caught any, because otherwise you might be on the same page of like, oh yeah, me too. Yeah. He might even pretend like me too, but he didn't even understand what she was saying.
Just like, all right.
We're going to move off them a little bit, because we're going to come back to him later, because otherwise the whole thing will be Jack and Tori, which the series has been a large
which way. Annoys me a bit, actually.
You go on, you're the villain and you get loads of airtime.
Well, let's go back to probably the other biggest couple in the series, Timothy and Lucinda, because when Timothy came in,
she was very sweet.
She was brilliant. That's how you handle it.
I would not have done that.
No.
Because the last time they saw each other, he walked off and he said, I don't fucking want to talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she has messaged him
and reached out and
he has not replied.
She would be well within her rights to have given him the cold shoulder. And the thing I love about Lucinda is she goes above and beyond. She surprises
me. She was the first up.
How gracious she is. And I know, and it's a bit wet, but I feel like I'm learning so much from her, because every time you think she's got no more to give, she gives more of herself. But she doesn't, you know, you say about you can't pour from an empty cup. She always seems to have a full cup.
Yeah. Mm.
She doesn't seem to give too much. She's so gracious, but I do feel like she was interacting with him in a way that said, I care about you.
Yes.
I have drawn a line under this ship.
Yeah. That's what I think as well.
Yeah. Romance gone.
I think that's why it helps her to have the sort of high ground. Not that I think she sees it as having moral high ground over Timothy, but because she's has her standards and she sticks to him.
Yeah.
So it's easier to be like, yeah, it's not going to work that way, but I'm happy to be friends with you because I do care about you.
Yeah.
And Timothy was good as well. I mean, you know, obviously he's been the sort of more difficult one throughout the series. But he said, you know, something that we'd said a few weeks ago, that sometimes it would be better for him if she just said, look, you're being a dickhead.
I know, he said that to her, didn't he?
Yeah.
Her face lit up when she came in the room, when he came in the room, and I was like, wow, this woman is so gracious, because he has ignored your messages, stormed off, left you alone on homestay.
Yeah.
I know she sees beyond that, and she knows he's hurt, and she knows he's having trouble, but she is nothing but lovely to him.
And how has she got through so many dinner parties without a
drinking?
I've suspected this, because I've noticed that she only drinks water at the dinner parties. I've clocked her, she always has a glass of water. So I have thought, does she not drink?
Mm-hmm.
But then when she said, oh, I think I'll have a glass of wine tonight, I was like, whoa. First ever drink at a dinner party. Maybe, how has she made it this far?
Maybe that's even a sign that she's drawn line under things with Tim, because prior to that point, especially, we've seen that he can get a bit boisterous.
She's and there's best behaviour.
Yeah, there's going to be conflict, so she wants a clear head, maybe. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, I don't give a shit anymore.
The maturity of that, though, to consciously be like, well, I'm not going to drink because I want to keep my wits about me and like, represent myself well. She's amazing.
But then she had her lager or beer or whatever it was from a glass, because she said to Timothy something like, oh, is that, I don't know, I can't remember the word she used, but, oh, should I have it in a glass? He's like, yeah, have a glass. Like, oh.
Did you hear what Jade said when, I think at the dinner party itself, when they were sat down, she said, oh, he made me feel a bit unwelcome. And Jade to camera went, If a man made me feel unwelcome in his house, I'd burn his house down.
I
was like, yeah, go, Jade.
Oh, woo, she's got a side that we've yet to see.
Well, do you think that Lucinda's amiability and generosity of spirit, all that sort of stuff, has actually annoyed Timothy? Because when he said to her, I just want you to call me a dickhead. Do you think she's almost too nice for him?
Yeah, Yeah, basically. I think that's why a few weeks ago we said it'd be better if she sometimes got riled up and they just had a bit of a row and got it out the system. And to him, that's clearing the air. It doesn't all need to be, you know, self-help kind of... All, as valid as it is, self-help and therapy and improving your life, sometimes it's just release the pressure, let's move on.
It'd be interesting if we saw, like, a different version of that dinner party entrance where she'd given him the cold shoulder and he had to do the heavy lifting to get her to talk to him.
Because I think he would have.
And would have been more apologetic. But at one point he was like, well, I guess it's partly my fault. I was like, fully 100% your fault. So that's, that shows a lack of awareness that he said partly my fault. Yeah. You left her alone. You ignored her.
Yeah.
You made, and also when someone said, oh, did you plan anything for the home stays? He went, oh, no.
Yeah.
Nothing. Literally nothing.
Not one thing.
Mm-hmm. Even Sarah planned a date. Sarah. Do you think that he is used to, like, how he connects with people maybe is through arguing? And because they don't argue, they haven't connected.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
You know, because you've got to let out emotions somehow.
Yeah.
So maybe he's just used to letting them out as anger. Mm-hmm. You have an argument, it means you care about each other.
Yeah, possibly.
And then you move on. But she's not going to do that.
And you know how his friend sort of dropped him in it accidentally by saying, like, he dotes on his women. Yeah. I'm picturing younger girls and I'm picturing, like, they're a little bit more high maintenance in terms of, like, oh, Timothy, you've annoyed me this week.
Yeah, or, and he didn't text me back.
Yeah, and he dotes on them because he has to switch it around and try and win them back. Mm-hmm. Whereas Lucinda's so willing to be forgiving, he hasn't had to do all that work to be doting or to be... Like, I'm not criticising her because she's acted impeccably, but it's interesting where he's just not used to that.
Yeah.
And he's like, she hasn't ever called me a dickhead.
I can't connect with
her. I can't connect the dots.
We've not spoken about them yet, but Jaden and Eden.
This was
difficult, wasn't it?
Very much so.
Really hard.
I don't get how he doesn't get it.
I don't get how he just couldn't see it by looking at her.
Yeah.
I think she was beside herself.
I would say as well, there's been a lot of people on Twitter when I've put things up about, like, how are you not spotting how anxious she is? And it's fair enough if she says, I can't handle this anymore. The events give me such anxiety, it's really not worth me doing it.
Mm.
It's like, yeah, fair enough, leave. And a lot of people have put, well, have you never seen the show before? You know what you're signing up for? It's like, yeah, but it's one thing watching it on telly and another thing doing it. I got a job that I remember thinking, oh, this is brilliant. This is exactly the job I wanted. 4 days in, I was like, I'm going to hand my notice in.
This is not what I want.
Yeah, this is not at all what I thought it was going to be. So fuck this.
Yeah. You know? She's managed, what, 9 weeks?
Yeah.
But also,
she's been at the centre of some of this stuff.
We can't bail out now. What, 4 days from the end?
Yeah. But let's not forget, everything seemed to shift into a much more anxious state when Jaden first dropped her in it.
Mm. Yeah.
So the first week we saw her flailing was when Jaden was like, well, you have to tell Sarah. You have to tell Tim what you know about Sarah.
Yeah.
I don't think she wanted to reveal.
Retreat. Yeah.
I don't think she wanted to reveal those texts. Then he dropped her in it again last week where she was like, please don't mention the fact she slagged him off. And he said it out loud in front of everybody, dropped her in it. So she said she doesn't feel safe with him because she never knows when it's going to turn into an argument, and the argument never ends.
Yeah,
because he just goes
going
on and on and on.
He's so dogmatic. And I don't dislike Jaden, and I think he means well, and he's aware she's anxious. Mm. It's not like he's like, oh, she'll be fine. He's actually trying.
Yeah.
It's not successful, but he's trying.
The thing is I agree with him about a lot of what he said about the Tim and Sarah situation, and, you know, you can't say you're leaving and then you're staying all the time. I actually agree with a lot of what he's saying, but that when she's in that level of anxiety, that trumps everything.
Mm.
So you just have to deal with that. And the way of dealing with it isn't just keeping on going on about
just
the same thing again. And
well, like at her about the thing she is anxious about.
You just go like, if this is making you anxious, we'll leave. We'll talk about all the other stuff at another time.
Yeah, I think that's the understanding he doesn't have.
Yeah.
Is that right now she's far too anxious to hear what I'm saying, let alone take it in and be able to, like, cognitively and rationally respond because she's in too much of an emotional place.
And then she goes,
It's absolutely pointless what I'm saying to her right now. Let's figure this out, get the anxiety levels down, and we can talk about it at some point.
I do agree that it's not healthy for... He should be able to talk openly about their relationships to help improve it, whether that's with her or with other people. So her shutting down and being like, I don't want to talk about it because it'll cause an argument, is itself causing the argument. But when she's that anxious... deal with that.
Find a more appropriate time to talk about this stuff.
I thought the editing and production there was where you just heard him murmuring away in the background and she was just freaking out.
Yeah. And she said it herself. Aww. Sometimes I feel more like his opponent than his teammate because of his combative style of arguing. But let's not forget, like, this is all a product of the fact that he does keep dropping her in it, like, mercilessly. He'll just be like, no, sorry, I'm just going to speak my truth. And she's begged him not to.
Yeah.
And so actually, that's why she's fearful. I don't think she was fearful of the dinner parties or any of these situations, or we didn't see it before he started doing that.
Yeah.
And this has been their main problem. Like, he puts the truth above everything else.
Yeah.
But I'm not anti-Jaden because I do think it's fair that, like you said, Omar, he should be able to talk openly about their relationship and she shouldn't always shut it down. But the reason she's shutting it down is because he has not backed her, dropped her in it.
Yeah.
And so it's just...
And she's felt like she just has to agree with whatever he says in order to get out of the situation.
Yeah.
Like, that's not healthy, is it? So, he should be able to say what he needs to say. But she needs to be able to hear it and receive it and not just have to nod and say hello, say yes. Because she said something like, I have to just cop the things I do wrong so that I can have him.
I know.
I thought, oh no, this is not healthy, Eden. This is not healthy.
And you can sort of see how he feels like he's doing the right thing. Like, he's like, oh, should we go to the other room?
Yeah.
And he was like, are you all right? And she said, yeah, I'm fine. He went, no, you're not fine.
Yeah.
So I do think he's trying.
He is.
But like, dealing with someone who has like that severe bouts of anxiety, that is tricky. And he's young and... I think he is trying. It's just he doesn't quite realise that he has sort of exacerbated the problem by she doesn't feel safe. She never knows what you're going to come out with next. She never knows what...
Yeah.
She's speaking to you in confidence and then you're telling the whole group all the time the stuff she said.
Yeah. And who does she have now in the group is the other thing.
Not many people. Because you got the impression... Left. She was nice.
And you got the impression before that she was sort of almost in like a four... With Tori and Lauren and Sarah. Ellie, do you remember?
Yeah, I remember. Because
they were sort of in that little four, weren't they? Where they turned up with
started thinking, I don't really know Eden.
Yeah.
And I don't particularly like Tori and Sarah. So I wondered what I would think of Eden. So I remember they were hanging out.
Yeah. And but now she's not got Sarah.
I know. And let's not forget, Eden and Sarah have fallen out, but also Tori and Lauren have fallen out.
Exactly.
The group is splintered.
Yeah. So who's she got really
she's just
now?
Got Jaden.
Apart from Jaden.
Yeah.
And Jaden.
He won't take her home when she's in a heightened state of anxiety.
But then I also do see his side of, like, he wants to be at the dinner parties getting help with their relationship, but because she keeps... it's hard, isn't it? Like, her anxiety won't allow her to be there in person.
You said before, though, like, if you're bothered about that person, you text them. If you're bothered about Eden, you know, sack off the fucking seventh maths dinner party.
Yeah,
you'll live.
How much help are you going to actually get from Tori and Jack and, you know... Sarah and Tim.
Ultimately, like, if somebody makes you feel like their opponent rather than their teammate, that's pretty damning.
Yeah. I know.
But I don't think he means to.
No, but that was really telling, that her saying it in that way, wasn't it?
It was well edited as well with the
I felt really sorry for
And then all the... I didn't know if the experts would sort of back both of them, but actually they were just backing Eden. Like, he's not seeing that she's struggling. She's very vulnerable right now.
Yeah.
I think it is difficult on both sides, but my sympathies mostly lie with Eden. That was sort of the end of the episode, but I think the bigger event was back to Jack and Tori talking about the homestay.
Yeah.
And one of my favourite Lauren quotes, he's going to run off into the Gold Coast sunset with his nipples hanging out.
charging her rent.
In her room.
I've got a room for her whenever she wants.
You know, she was talking about transitioning to the GC. She did. I did a nice tweet comparing her to Gemma Collins. his response was, "I've got a lot of love for Tori." Yeah. And Lauren says, "I say that about my chiropractor." But seriously, that's a bullshit answer.
Yeah,
it is a bullshit answer.
It really is. Does that even mean?
I've got a lot of love. It's the way you talk about your favourite snack or your cousin. It's very, like, asexual.
Sounds like you have a problem with your cousin.
I've got lots of cousins, but you say, like, oh, I've got a lot of love for them. It's almost like you're holding them at arm's length.
Yeah.
Like, I tolerate them. They're all right. I've got a lot of love for them, but they're not a close friend.
Yeah. You're not in a relationship with them.
No. But then we're not surprised, obviously.
We are not.
I mean, it was perfect kind of isolation.
My word, the isolation.
Yeah, the cutting off from people. And I was reminded of the coercive control episode we did with Mel, and the number one tip, which I did a reel about it and it got, you know, thousands of views, which I was very happy about, was if you suspect one of your friends is in a coercive relationship, as counterintuitive as it feels, don't criticise their partner, because it just makes them defensive, and it was just playing out perfectly, as Mel had suggested at that dinner party, where all the girls, particularly Lauren and Sarah, were like, literally, Tori, open your eyes.
Yeah.
And she was just digging her heels in more and more.
This reinforces the isolation.
I'm not going to see any of you afterwards. None of you. None.
Maybe you at the beginning, but now.
That's harsh.
It's so pointed, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's like, worse.
Because we're acknowledging that they did have a friendship, and it's like.
The isolation was there from the beginning, wasn't it? Even when they walked in.
Oh.
How it's just every dinner party has got more and more awkward when those two walk in.
I was because you were going.
No one
like,
stands up.
No. And nobody goes, oh,
they've given up.
They're just all like, oh. In fact,
you were going to me when we were watching it. I'd love to know who shushed. Don't give it away.
Like. As the door opens,
I do sometimes
make it more obvious.
I do sometimes wonder how it's edited, though, because we see people's reactions, which we know have been edited to be like, shocked, like everyone. And also, you know, when someone's asked a question and there's like tumbleweed, you know that people haven't left that long a gap. So I do wonder, like, did anybody stand up? Because I feel
Lucinda was probably first.
I was going to say, I feel
she
like
has
Lucinda
been in the past,
would,
hasn't she?
Lucinda would stand up.
Ridge, maybe, if he's
They're boys, bros like that, or whatever it was.
I take it with a pinch of salt, but it is awkward.
It was funny, though.
I don't know if I've got to the point where I think Jack and Tori sort of deserve each other.
Yeah, this is early on.
Maybe they'll make it work.
Maybe they will.
She'll have a spare room. He'll be charging her rent.
She'll be happy. Early on, I asked if we'd ever had a villainous couple.
Yeah.
And I feel this is it, because in that conflict between, well, it wasn't a conflict, I think Liz was just attacking Tori.
Yeah.
I was thinking, do I feel sorry for Tori now? I was like, oh, no, I don't think I do. Because I don't like her either. I damn liked her from the beginning.
No.
It was only of early doors, I wanted to see how it progressed. And she's just bought into it, and she's got this superiority thing.
Yeah.
And
she does have a superiority.
She really does.
You know, as she might say, I love that for you.
Crack on. And I do feel like they've both treated it like such a competition where there has to be one winner.
Yeah.
And that their language is about that, like top couple and coming out on top and making it through these hurdles and everyone's against us. So like they have that.
Oh, because we've said, like you said in our last episode, they're almost the most cast iron guaranteed stay together at final vows, which I think is very accurate. Mm-hmm. But I wonder then, they're going to stay together. What happens when the show ends? What's the next competition that they then have to compete in?
Well, he's just going to immediately run off with his nipples hanging out.
Yeah.
I actually think he might say no at the final vows.
Really?
He could do. Because he doesn't want her as a girlfriend. He's not interested.
Hang on, is it worth... It's not worth doing predictions yet, because we'll come to the episode structure coming up soon.
I 90% think he'll say yes.
I think he'll say yes.
Because he wants to come across as this, like, hero boyfriend.
Yeah, exactly.
But 10%, he knows it's good TV if he's like, I didn't ever like you.
It was all a lie.
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Give me my black rose back.
Yeah. And that Temu bracelet.
Yeah, give me my black bracelet.
But I think with Tori, sometimes she does make sense, though. That's why I can be a bit more on board with her than I can with Jack. Because nothing Jack says makes sense, ever.
Oh, she's
it's all confusing and weird.
She's not as bad as him.
But sometimes she makes sense. Like, she said to him, I will have to lean on you and your support network when I move here.
Yeah.
And how's that going to work when your friends are like Liz? So, you know, she makes a lot of sense. And I think sometimes there's like practical things she wants to talk about with him. And he's just like, oh, yeah, like just fluffy nonsense.
It's not for me to deal with, essentially. You sort that out, Tori.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it's mad, like that lunch or whatever they had with Liz, she sees before her very eyes, he sat right there, not defending her.
Oh, totally, like literally sat back.
Sat back. She's being accused of like sleeping around with all her friends. She's been accused of being like to this, to that. He didn't say a word.
Yeah.
So, like, say she had nice nails.
Oh, yeah. So like, she's told these rumours about him and she's like, oh, that's his rap sheet. Like, but when it's there in front of her, black and white, and he's not, how does that not affect her?
Yeah.
Exactly. And Liz's coming for her was quite, it was weird.
It was really odd.
Yeah, final vows. Do we need to do our predictions now?
No, we don't. The next
hold off.
Yeah, because the next, that's what I mean about the episode structure. It's good. So we've just had dinner party, obviously. Commitment ceremony on Monday.
Is that the last one?
Yes.
Right.
Ooh.
You've not seen the preview, I'm guessing.
No.
Okay. Oh my god.
Oh, no. Brace yourself.
No.
Commitment ceremony, then another dinner party immediately afterwards.
Oh, really?
Yeah, then two final vows episodes. That's the coming.
Oh, those are always so stretched out.
They are.
They're a bit annoying.
They are.
The tweeting.
So much recapping.
Tweeting's going to be thin on the ground, though.
Johnny did a really depressing bit of maths in the car earlier. He was like, you realise with like 40 hours of maths, we've watched something like 800 minutes of ads or something. And I was like, oh, no. I was like, what are you talking about? I've got to make cups of tea in that time.
That's true. Yeah, we make cups of tea in the ad breaks.
With that being said, what's the indent? What's the sponsor for maths?
Oh, yeah. ClearScore.
ClearScore.
Oh, yeah.
When you need to be sure.
Yeah, that.
Whatever
yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
I was I watch it on the Russian website. How do I know? I don't watch it on eShop. Sorry.
We do everything legally with a VPN.
Thank you, Vladimir.
Yeah, so we've got, I'm looking forward to commitment ceremony dinner party coming up. But I think what we could do predictions of is anyone going to leave at this commitment ceremony?
Timothy and Lucinda,
probably, yeah.
Well, she'll definitely write leave because of her, well, I say definitely, I think because of her self-worth and the fact she's come to that conclusion that they're just going to be friends.
I think so.
But is there any chance he'd write stay?
I don't think so.
I think if it wasn't going into final vows, he might, if it was 3 weeks earlier, he might say, I'll give it an extra week. But I think there is something about coming into final vows where
it feels like you're really getting married. It's like panic.
It's like, are you going to turn it around in a week?
Yeah, it's all building to that. And then if you then break up a couple of weeks after that, it seems worse.
Yeah, it does.
Like, oh, and something else I wanted to say about Jack having sex. It made me laugh.
Please no.
No, when he goes, we did it in the Gold Coast, it's nice, you know, home soil. You know, it's not winning the Premier League at your home ground. It's a weird thing.
But he's built it up to almost be.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
He's going to use that as the reason that they haven't done it earlier.
Do you know what?
That he wasn't in the Gold Coast.
Do you know what it almost reminds me of? You know, there's like old religious like things where you had to witness the young couple, have they consummated the marriage? And it was all those
creepy.
That's what it reminds me of.
Like Game of Thrones, the bedding ceremony.
Yeah, stuff like that. That's what it's like. It's like this, like the two tribes coming together.
Yeah.
Prove their worth.
Ugh.
Can we not end on that note?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll talk to you again on Tuesday after the commitment ceremony and dinner party. Until then, I've been Omar Abid.
I've been Sarah Clark.
I've been Claire Limmer-Abid.
Thank you, ladies. But as we know, the man's always the star of the show.
Don't take inspiration from Jack.